And have very strange views about, you know, about what we ought to be doing as a country. There still are people in the GOP caucus who are very pro-Russia. And I wonder about that in this day and age, in this moment. It's not being critical of all Republicans, but I just don't know where that stuff comes from other than QAnon and I don't know.
But it is frustrating to have to deal with the fentanyl crisis because we simply cannot secure our border in this country. And I'm hopeful that something gets done, but, you know, my advice, take it for what it's worth, while we're waiting on that, just secure the border. I mean, literally every governor in the country is dealing with the fentanyl crisis.
Let me fast forward to where we are today, and we saw the House of Representatives struggle for multiple days in a row as Kevin McCarthy, dear friend of mine.
Hey, what's up, folks? So the World Economic Forum Davos conference is underway in 2023, and there was an interesting panel of U.S. politicians such as Kristen Sinema, Brian Kemp of Georgia, Pritzker of Illinois, Manchin of West Virginia, and bipartisan representation of the U.S. We're going to react to some of their clips and have an honest conversation about it. Without further ado, the show starts now.
It's the Dream Rare Podcast. Welcome to the show. The way to get the news at the desk or on the road. Let's go. God is great and success in our control. The world is crazy, but we get better from obstacles.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Dream Rare Podcast. Davos at World Economic Forum is underway, and I caught a live stream this morning with Governor Kemp, Kristen Sinema of Arizona, Manchin of West Virginia, Pritzker of Illinois, and a few other politicians as well. I got some footage, I got some video clips of it that I'm going to share. And a lot of people are wondering, why are U.S. representatives over in Switzerland talking about United States policy? Very genuine question. One positive thing that I want to tell people that I think is a good thing is I looked at the World Economic Forum YouTube and they had over 700,000 subscribers, yet all of their videos had less views than the chat I had with Chad Jackson yesterday, great chat about MLK and stuff. We had more views in our analysis of the World Economic Forum than they did on any single video they had, and that's not counting my Facebook page, etc. So, you know, although it's not popular, like what they're doing, it's not popular, they're not getting a lot of views or anything, even though they have three times the subscribers of me on YouTube. But what is the benefit of going there? I think it's being around all the powerful leaders, money, corporations, etc. That's the true value of being there. Real quick, the first clip I want to react to is Governor Pritzker of Illinois basically suggesting if you're against Ukraine and pro-Russia to some extent, you must have got that from some QAnon space laser. That's where you must have got your theory from. Let's take a look.
To work together to get things done, but and you saw that again over the last 2 years. But it is very hard. I mean, especially when you have people who deny reality, who are holding office. You know, I mean, literally people who are, you know, believe in space lasers and, you know, sort of have strange
views. We know about it.
And have very strange views about, you know, about what we ought to be doing as a country. There still are people in the GOP caucus who are very pro-Russia. And I wonder about that in this day and age, in this moment. It's not being critical of all Republicans, but I just don't know where that stuff comes from other than QAnon and I don't know.
Let me just say real quick, the American people basically, I think, are tired and very, very upset with how the operations have been going, whether it could be in extreme states or extreme.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know how someone could be pro-Russia besides like QAnon, which I don't think has ever pushed pro-Russia. I mean, maybe it has, I don't know. But in general, I want to say this. What they call pro-Russia would really just be like skepticism of Ukraine. Some people actually do like Russia. There's Russians who like Russia. There's non-Russians who like Russia. Just like people like Ukraine and people like England and people like Japan and India, some people actually do like Russia. I know the establishment and the media wants to destroy not just the Putin regime, but I really feel like the Russian people and their entire identity. But in general, it's like everybody that is critical of the hundreds of billions of dollars that we're sending to Zelensky, they'll call you pro-Russia. If you say, hey, maybe if we stop funding weapons money to this war, maybe the war will end. Because sometimes, I mean, not just sometimes, I think in this situation, a deal needs to be struck. Either they fight or something happens, or one of them wins. But if it's a stalemate, we've watched this happen in other wars. It's taken decades. It's wasted trillions of dollars. And after decades of an endless war that we just got out of in Afghanistan, trillions of dollars later, are we in a better position than we were when we started? We're really not. Afghanistan is what it is. The Taliban apparently took back over. And after $1 trillion, thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not more, of American lives and other lives, we're not in a better position. So the absolute nerve of a monopoly man, Pritzker, to suggest that basically, oh, it must be QAnon if you're Russian, which really just means that you're critical of what's going on in Ukraine. These people are so asinine, they're so arrogant, and that's why they don't hang out in America. That's why they go to Switzerland with the other elitist losers to talk about their policy, because nobody here really buys it, except for apparently the people in Illinois who voted them. But you get what I'm saying? I don't care if you're from Ukraine and you're pro-Ukraine. I don't care if you think we should stop funding, but they try to frame every single criticism of Ukraine as pro-Russia when it's absolutely not. It's just like, maybe we just got out of an endless war where you funded for decades and nothing happened. Maybe we feel like that's going on in Ukraine. Maybe a lot of us see the corruption of Ukraine. In fact, mainstream media reported the corruption of Ukraine for a long time before we started working with Ukraine. The Anti-Defamation League and Facebook used to call the Azov Battalion a neo-Nazi white supremacist organization. And now all of a sudden that we're working with them, all of a sudden they're not neo-Nazis anymore, but they were before the war. I don't know what the truth about them is. I'm just saying. It's like, if you have any questions besides just throwing your money at Zelensky, they say that you're pro-Russia, which is absolutely not true. Most people are not pro-Russia, but actually some people are. Some people look at Russia and see a Christian nation that's building churches, and some people look at Ukraine, which is now trying to ban LGBT hate speech, and they look and they see more commonalities between Russia than Ukraine, you know, and that's okay. It's just like, if I had to move somewhere in the world, there's places that I'd want to move and places that I wouldn't want to move. I mean, personally, I wouldn't want to move to Russia or Ukraine, but I look at the two cultures and I think Zelensky is going in a direction that's not the right way. And I don't want them to fight and kill each other. So, I mean, call it what you want, but everybody has a right to feel the way they feel. Let's just be honest about it. How are we ever going to solve any of these problems unless we're honest? Before we look at Governor Kemp, which I think is a pretty bold move, knowing how his constituents probably feel about the World Economic Forum, we're going to listen to his speech, ask a few questions, and I have some interesting angles, and I'm going to read your comments after, but let's look at Kristen Sinema, who's dressed like an extra from Zoolander 2. For God knows what reason, she is, I don't know if that's a dead animal on her, maybe like a sheep or something, like maybe it's fake vegan, but I don't know what she's wearing. What do you think?
Let me fast forward to where we are today, and we saw the House of Representatives struggle for multiple days in a row as Kevin McCarthy, dear friend of mine, had to continue conceding point after point after point to the radical right of the GOP, to a point where he's now in an unenviable position that will make it very difficult for us to meet our obligation when the debt limit fight comes up later this year.
Somebody's grandma is missing her rug. So Kristen, I understand you want to look pretty for the World Economic Forum, all the elitist friends, but please return that rug afterwards. And that's coming from someone who apparently wears a tablecloth sometimes. People think one of my shirts looks like a tablecloth. Of course she's friends with Kevin McCarthy. Right. So now this is the interesting part. I have five different clips of Governor Kemp, and you can comment right now, but I'm not going to be able to see it till afterwards because I have to play these clips. But here's the question that people have with Trump and Governor Kemp, etc. Like, Trump went to World Economic Forum, I think multiple times, but at least once. He said Klaus was doing a fantastic job, which is very odd. To me, that's like not a statement I would ever make. But, you know, in his speech, to be fair, President Trump, his rhetoric was pushing against a lot of the World Economic Forum policies. And a lot of people who support Trump said, well, I don't care that he's there because I want him to be there because I want him to push back against the policies, which seems to be what Governor Kemp's doing. Although I never saw a video of Governor Kemp saying Klaus Schwab was doing a fantastic job. However, we're going to talk about it after I play all these five clips and react to it. What is the World Economic Forum? Is it okay to attend? If you attend one time, two times, or three times, does that mean you're a part of it? How much leverage do they have over the politicians? We're going to have these conversations because I want to hear your take. I have my perspective, and we can bounce off each other with ideas. But first, let's listen to Governor Kemp's speech, because I'm sure he's going to get a lot of backlash for just attending this conference in the first place, which is understandable. I mean, what they're doing there is very bizarre and questionable.
That's the question to the voters. You know, look at the candidates and ask who's been fighting for you. Who was fighting to keep your business open when all the pressure from both political parties, from people in high places, from a lot of other people that were sitting in their basement on a computer was not to stay open, was not to reopen our economy. Who was pushing to get our kids back in the classroom? Well, we did all of those things. And, you know, we proved that we were fighting for people.
So he's basically saying we opened earlier than most people and I had pressure from both political parties. Before I play the next clip, just to be historically accurate, when Georgia opened their state, they were one of the first states to open against the 15 days to slow the spread, extends to the new lockdown, and President Trump was kind of flip-flopping. When Georgia opened, Trump went on stage, and I have this clip for those who doubt it on my Twitter page posted there now. Trump said basically, you know, Georgia should stay shut down. So Kemp defied Trump's orders. Trump let him open. He wasn't a dictator about it, but Trump was actually more pro-lockdown than Governor Kemp was. And also Trump was bashing Sweden for never locking down. He kept saying Sweden's so bad. They're going herd immunity, like they should have locked down like us. And now because he's going against DeSantis, he's pretending like he never did that. I heard an interview the other day on Real America Voice where Trump is now saying DeSantis locked down and he never did, which is true that DeSantis locked down, and there's going to be DeSantis fanboys that are going to say DeSantis never locked down, and then there's going to be Trump fanboys that say, oh, DeSantis locked down harder than Trump. The truth is they both kind of were pro-lockdown for an extent, but Governor Kemp, to his credit, was one of the first ones to open, even before DeSantis or Trump. So he's saying that on a world economic stage. I can't read your comments, unfortunately, now, but I want to know your opinion as we go through his speech. Like, does he have the right to go to World Economic Forum and disagree with them? Or should he just stay home in Georgia and forget this group of weirdos?
We were fighting for election security. We were fighting for people to have a good paying job and to have, you know, to survive, to to fight another day economically in our state. We fought for our people by giving them $1 billion of their tax money back to help them fight through 40-year high inflation, because in my opinion, of a lot of bad policies in Washington, D.C., and the voters of my state, the great state of Georgia, certainly responded to that.
Well, thank you, Governor.
So then that host with the Klaus Schwabian accent, sort of, not really, asked him a question. I forget what the question is, but here's the answer. I just cut it out because I wanted to cut through some of the fat to get to what Kemp actually said.
Well, listen, I think from my perspective, a lot of frustration with Washington, D.C. I understand, you know, Senator Coombs' position on the IRA. But, you know, that hurt Georgia-based electric vehicle companies in our state. It was not treating them fairly. I believe the legislation picked winners and losers. Thankfully, I think the administration is working on fixing that. I don't think we were treated fairly in a state because we had been open. We had a low unemployment rate. So
I agree with him. He's going to keep talking about, you know, electric vehicles, all this stuff. They're favoring certain companies and they're taking it away from certain companies. So I don't believe in all that government intervention. And also, I read that Greta Thunberg got arrested at a coal protest in Germany. And if you look up how electricity is functioning in Germany, they actually have a chart and it's mostly oil. And then I think second or third down the list is coal. So here's what the environmentalists don't understand is in order to power all of this stuff, solar, wind, like whatever, it's low down the list. I think the top three are always coal, oil, and then nuclear power plants. And then you have to ask yourself the question, why did Germany and California push to shut down nuclear power plants? Because if you're not going with coal, which they hate, if you're not going with oil, which they hate, then nuclear energy, even a lot of environmentalists consider nuclear energy clean energy. Maybe it's not as safe as some would ask, but I would even say that I think a lot of the propaganda around nuclear power is BS. They're trying to like brainwash people through Netflix to think it's so unsafe with the Russia story, whatever that like mini documentary was, like Chernobyl. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, that's like not that common and it's a different time and they're pretty safe now. So the question is, first of all, they're pushing towards electricity. They're favoring certain companies. They're hurting certain states. And then they're not even admitting to the environmentalists and the brainwashed kids that they've just brainwashed that where does the, it's not like electricity just, you know, Ben Franklin's there with the keys that he gets zapped and the whole world has power. It doesn't work that way. I just knocked down a water bottle, but it comes from coal, oil, and nuclear power. Why are Democrats and liberals in Germany shutting down nuclear power plants? Do they want us to starve for something? I mean, I'm sure a lot of people think so.
The level of funding coming out of Washington, D.C. and the current administration, we were treated differently from New York and California. You know, their citizens per capita were getting more money than ours. And so that's frustrating to someone like me as a governor that just wants to be have our citizens treated fairly. You know, there's frustrations, quite honestly. Look, if there's gridlock in Washington, D.C., one thing you can count on is the stability in a great economy, a great business environment in the state of Georgia, and we're gonna keep rocking and rolling.
And then he talks about closing the border and fentanyl as his final statement. He says, we need to close the border at, I'm sure, a conference where a lot of people are pro open borders. Let's see.
But it is frustrating to have to deal with the fentanyl crisis because we simply cannot secure our border in this country. And I'm hopeful that something gets done. But, you know, my advice, take it for what it's worth. While we're waiting on that, just secure the border. I mean, literally every governor in the country is dealing with the fentanyl crisis. We're dealing with street gang crisis. We're dealing with human trafficking crisis. And those are the issues that we're trying to tackle at the state level. But I believe much could be solved. And I think there will be broad bipartisan support for simply, in the meantime, while you're working on these things, to secure the dang border.
Thank you, Governor.
So that was his speech. I mean, solid. He could have done it in Georgia or somewhere else, but he chose to go to Davos, Switzerland. So I want to say my point of view, and then I want to read some of your comments. I have them up on the screen now so I can see them. So, you know, the reason that politicians and corporations go to World Economic Forum is because it's the ultimate networking opportunity for rich people and politicians. I think you have over 2,000 or 2,500, I don't know how many, some of the top businessmen, billionaires, you know, George Soros is usually there. He's not there this year. You have leaders, politicians, like the most powerful people in the world that control policy all over the place, policy from the government level and policy from the corporate level, they all go to World Economic Forum and Davos, most of them. It's a great opportunity if you're rich and want power in the world. That's why when they say it's a conspiracy theory, like, okay, no. I mean, yes, some people have wrong theories, just like CNN and Washington Post mess up all the time, but it's not really a theory that that's what's going on there. They're driving and dictating policy with the people with the money and power that have to do it. It's like the Woodstock or Coachella or, you know, TPUSA, like right-wing event for global leaders, politicians, corporations, billionaires, that's where they go. So why do Democrats and Republicans go there? Even someone like Governor Kemp that knows he's going to get a lot of pushback for just attending. Well, to me, the most obvious reason is connections, power, leverage, you know, all those things. Someone would say, and I'm just going to play both sides now just to kind of narrate and try to do a fair analysis of it and then give my view. Some would say it's okay for Governor Kemp to go and push back against the establishment and tell them to close their borders because it's better to go and confront them and try to get that into the conversation. Some people would say, no, Governor Kemp's a sellout. He's one of them. He's a loser and he should have never attended and I hate him now or I already did hate him. Some would say that like Trump, some would say, well, Trump went because he had to go. Like he had to go and talk to them and that was like 5D chess. Others would say, well, you know, there's video of Trump saying Klaus Schwab did a fantastic job and that's weird and Trump's in on it. To me, this is my true opinion, I think you should ask every politician that goes there these questions. Dan Crenshaw was asked a question about World Economic Forum. He answered horribly. Dan Crenshaw is good on The View, acting like a reasonable conservative, but when it comes to foreign policy or criticism from the right wing, I personally just don't like Dan Crenshaw. No offense. I find him rude. I find him condescending. I find him arrogant. I just don't like him. And I thought his answer was terrible. And I think that's why you ask questions as a journalist. You see how they answer. And Dan Crenshaw, for me as a voter, not in Texas, but Dan Crenshaw failed the test. You know, Tulsi Gabbard was asked a question about her ties to the World Economic Forum because she was on the website. And Tulsi Gabbard's answer was a lot better. She basically condemned what they're doing. However, her answer was very politician-like. And when you really, you know, I would do a follow-up question to Tulsi Gabbard because she said, oh, you know, they just put me on the website without my permission. She also tweeted from one of her accounts that she was happy to be on that list. So that's a follow-up question for Tulsi Gabbard. You said that you didn't know you were on the list and you condemned the World Economic Forum, but Tulsi Gabbard, you tweeted it. So are you in control of your Twitter, or does some intern do it, or are you lying? You know, these are follow-up questions. And also, you know, as great and nice as Tulsi Gabbard is, she was the vice president of the DNC, which is very odd. And when you look at Steve Scalise, apparently I saw a Gateway Pundit article, Steve Scalise brought Donna Brazile as a guest to some event, and they're both wearing masks. It's like the uniparty's so obvious between Sinema and McCarthy, and like, yeah, we get it, you're all friends, okay? But you're not doing a good job. So if you were all friends and you're like crushing, then be friends. But both parties suck. You both lied to us. You both locked us down. You both printed money. You both basically caused a recession. So we're not really thrilled with your little two-party like nonsense you're doing. So to me, I think that World Economic Forum is a place that rich people and politicians go. Does it necessarily mean if you attend one time or two times that you're in on it? In my opinion, not necessarily, but I think most of them are because they don't, you know, watch their actions. If they do a great job, like say if Donald Trump went to World Economic Forum and he said, you know, just America, America first, and he governed like it, I would give Trump a pass. I'd be like, listen, yeah, he attended World Economic Forum. Yes, he said some stuff. But at the end of the day, I feel like he really delivered. And it's so clear that Donald Trump's standing up against the establishment. I personally would give him a pass for attending World Economic Forum. But the problem is, in my opinion, if you look at everybody that Donald Trump hired, from FBI to CIA to HHS to Secretary of State to FDA, he hired a bunch of swampers. I mean, he hired pharmacy lobbyists, pharmacy executive, pharmacy board of directors, like ex-intel people. And then he became a big pharma salesman. So it's not necessarily just the fact that Donald Trump, it's not like I'm going to rule your whole life out if you ever step foot on the World Economic Forum stage. I believe in, you know, coming around, and I also believe in playing the game. I understand that you can attend and push back and go home, and it doesn't mean you're controlled. But I think Donald Trump's actions fell short of his words. And I feel like even recently he did an interview where he's still saying his vaccine saved 100 million lives. I mean, I posted this on Twitter, and I'm going to do more videos about it. But, you know, this is one of the most insane lies out of every lie about the vaccine. It saved 100 million lives. It's not coming from Fauci. It's not coming from Bill Gates. It's coming from Donald Trump. And no conservative host has the balls to push back against it. They all just sit there like, thank you, vaccine daddy. They know he's lying, but nobody wants to ask him a question. So that's why on this show, I tell people, these are politicians. Ask them questions. Your job is not to worship Brian Kemp. Your job is not to worship Donald Trump. Your job is not to worship Dan Crenshaw, certainly. And your job is not to worship Kristen Sinema. It's like, ask them the questions and see how they respond. And if they don't respond well, you know, keep prying into it for sure. So I would say, I understand that maybe, what do you think about Brian Kemp? You know, I think on one hand, a lot of people have seen interesting things about him and don't like him. On one hand, he seemed to open the country up earlier. He attended World Economic Forum, which is a ballsy move, which is going to get him a lot of backlash, but his rhetoric seemed good. But at the end of the day, who really cares about rhetoric? Anybody could say anything, but what are they really doing? I don't live in Georgia. Is he doing a good job in Georgia? Do you feel that way? Do you think he sold out? Do you think he's in on it? Clearly, he's there to, you know, network, and because it's not like it's getting a lot of views. You have to understand, this video is probably going to get more views that I'm making than the video that they put up. And I'm not doing it to promote them. I'm doing it to bring my narrative and bring the truth to it. I'm not saying some of them told the truth, some of them didn't. Pritzker's a moron. But in general, it's like they're not going for the YouTube views on the World Economic Forum page. They're going for the connections, the corporations, the world leaders. And it's almost like this thing that you go and, you know, you get a lot of clout with these type of people. And with Klaus Schwab, here's the thing, like with the media saying everything's a conspiracy theory, how much power does Klaus Schwab really have? I'm not sure, but a lot, I would assume, because he is the ringleader of the World Economic Forum, where all the rich and powerful people go. So if you make an event somehow that's so successful and popular that every rich person, billionaire, politician from every country wants to go, Zelensky's there, Kemp's, if it's not like you have no power. Clearly, you have some sort of leverage. You have some sort of connections. Everybody knows you. You become like a schmoozer, you know, of sorts. And obviously, the guy, I read Klaus Schwab's book, actually, not the whole thing, but about half of it, unfortunately. I got the gist of it. I probably should finish it, but whatever. He wrote a book called COVID-19, The Great Reset. And here's how BS, not that I have to complain about this, but I just have to get it off my chest, how BS the social media sites are. I got banned from TikTok, and one of my videos that they censored was, I literally just held up the book of Klaus Schwab and said, COVID-19, The Great Reset. If you want to know what they think about The Great Reset, read his book, The Great Reset. And then they're like, oh my God, The Great Reset's a conspiracy theory. It's a book written by Klaus Schwab and his like ghostwriter slash partner. And they talk about, I mean, I've read the Communist Manifesto. I've read his historical books. In my opinion, Klaus Schwab is into communist ideology. He uses the same rhetoric. He talks about the same things. He favors equity over competition. He favors, you know, government intervention over competition and other things. He is communist-minded in my perspective. I've read the book. I'm not stupid. But you can't. But The Great Reset's just a conspiracy theory, even though it's a book with literal detailed plan. And he had one graph in the book, and I don't forget this. In the middle is climate change. That's their main narrative. That's why everybody's like predicting climate lockdowns and all that stuff next, because it's in his book. And you know, that seems to be like the link of how they're gonna push policy, suck out a bunch of money, and shift energy. And without energy, we all die, so it's pretty important. And then everybody's talking about, obviously, a cyber attack. The reason is, and I was one of the first ones to report on this a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, whenever it started, they've been doing these cyber digital polygon conferences in the World Economic Forum with Klaus Schwab. So he's talking about, just like they talked about other stuff, it's like, that it might be a cyber attack, and we got to prepare ourselves, and it's like, I'm not saying he's going to cause it, but it's like, why else would they be doing that? They must be anticipating that, right? Or else they wouldn't be simulating it. But you can't even talk about it. Then they'll try to shut you down on social media and say, oh, you think that they caused it. It's like they're planning a response via simulation. Can you not speculate? Like if someone gets on stage and says, hey, this might come in three, like, okay. Someone said, Kemp is legitimizing those who want to destroy us. It's an interesting take, Joshua. I mean, I would think that it doesn't benefit him to go there, like, character-wise. It doesn't benefit him to go there vote-wise. So why would he go there? He's not stupid. You think Kemp doesn't know that it's a bad look for a populist or right-wing leader? Or left-wing leader, but they're so brainwashed, they don't even know what's going on. Like, you think he doesn't know that he's going to get a lot of backlash for it? He must be going for another reason, either to push back against it, but what's much more likely is that there's benefit there. You know, if I got invited to a conference with all of the richest people and world leaders, there's so much networking there, money opportunity, lobbying, sponsorships. You know, like, these are things to consider with Governor Kemp. And I think anybody who interviews him, maybe it'll be me, I don't know. I've never thought about it, but I would like to get the first interview now that I think about it when he comes back to ask him these questions. That would be cool. Just, you know, it's worth asking. And that's I'm reading some comments as well. I don't like this idea of just blindly trust them and assume that they're gonna come through in the clutch. Like, in my opinion, you should just do the opposite. Assume they're sold out, assume they're taking lobbying money, unless you're 100% sure they're not. And then we walk back from there and we kind of hold our ground. That's all we have. It's the same with Trump. Like, I was reading stuff. I'm going to do a different video tomorrow probably about it, but I basically was posting things that Trump did, and someone's telling me basically like the excuses start coming out, and it's just like funny to me at this point because I'm not trying to get upset about it. But someone basically said, like, one of the comments was like, Pence did the vaccine, not Trump. First of all, every interview Trump does, including in 2023, he wants credit for the vaccine. He's not saying, I didn't know what I was doing. Pence tricked me. Trump is so proud of it. So it's like you almost have to lie to yourself even to make excuses for the guy. But anyway, someone said, Pence pushed the vaccine, not Trump. And Trump just did it because Pence told him to, and they told him to, and he believed it. So then I'm being kind and reasonable. I'm like, so you want a leader that does what Mike Pence tells him to do? You want a leader that doesn't know better than to not listen to Mike Pence? You want a leader that gets fooled by them for so long that everybody knows the truth now except for him, and he's still working for them? Like, it just rationally, reasonably conservative, it doesn't make any sense anymore. And it's hilarious, like, how many people just don't want to let it go. Treat Governor Kemp like you treat Trump. Treat Trump like Governor Kemp. If Trump can go to World Economic Forum and that's okay because he's giving it to the establishment, but then you say Brian Kemp can't go to World Economic Forum and stick it to the establishment, why? Why can't it just be honest, be fair? If you're going to push back against Fauci for what he did, are you not going to push back against Trump? Like, I guess I just don't understand where people are coming from besides emotions and team politics. Treat everybody as if they're working for lobbyists at this point, because they probably are, and walk backwards. Later today, I'm going to do a double shift today because I saw Steven Crowder put out a video where he's basically calling out controlled opposition in the Republican media. And I'm not saying I fully to be honest, I don't really watch Crowder, and I've seen some good things, some things I disagree with. That's fine. But Crowder basically says, don't make me show the receipts. He's claiming that a lot of people in right-wing media are working for big tech. And he's saying basically he wanted to keep his mouth shut for a while because he thought, oh, we're all right-wing, we're all working together, let's not attack each other. But apparently Crowder's even so fed up now that he's basically threatening to show receipts on somebody for partner. I don't know what he's talking about, but the thing, it's like, we've been talking about that for years. I'm not trying to be a hater. It's not like I look at my competition and think, oh, I want to hurt them. If you're on my side, you're on my side. You know, everybody disagrees. We debate. I'm personally just not trying to be best friends with everybody. It's like, listen, we're talking about politics. It's great. But when you're friends with everybody, they do something sneaky. It's like, whatever. I get it. Like, you want to be. But at a certain point, if our friends are locking down the country, if our friends are selling out to lobbyists, like, I don't want to be a part of that. So I'm glad Crowder's saying something. I don't know what he's saying, but I'm glad he's saying something, because I feel this way completely. And, you know, with all the backlash I've been getting with what I've been saying about Trump, here's my specific take. You don't have to agree with it. You could leave me off on my own. I'll be fine and you'll be fine. I'm not going to be part of a movement led by a guy saying the COVID vaccine saved 100 million lives. I have too much respect for myself and too much integrity to be a cog in a movement with a liar leader like Donald Trump. He says the COVID vaccine, he said it 2 days ago, saved 100 million lives yesterday, actually. He's lying. I don't want to be in a movement with that guy. I don't want to be in a movement with a guy who takes $1 million from Pfizer. I don't want to be in a movement being led by somebody who hired pharmacy lobbyists to run HHS and FDA. If you want to be part of a movement with a guy who hired pharmacy lobbyists, took money from Pfizer, and says the COVID vaccine saved 100 million lives, you're welcome to be in that movement. It's just not going to include me anymore, okay? And unfortunately, in 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, I was so busy fighting the left and the deep that I didn't even realize that this was happening. And also, to be fair, I was giving Donald Trump 4 years where I understood early on, like, yeah, it's not going to be so easy to just get rid of everything. So I'm like, let's just see how Donald Trump performs. I was fair. I gave him 4 years. I said, listen, I don't like those people he hired in certain cases. Like, he hired Bolton at one point, but he didn't start 18 wars. So I'm like, I'm not going to throw Trump off the, you know, the train just because he hired Bolton if he didn't even do what Bolton said. It doesn't really matter. But then, you know, his true character came out in the fourth quarter of the game, and that's what it is. So you can be a part of that movement, and it's fine. It's not going to be the first person that disagrees with you, but you're not going to drag me into this movement. I'm not a part of it. I've called it out. Nobody has an answer for it. I'm going to be debating or conversing with David Harris next week. It should be top tier debate because he loves Trump and I'm skeptical. And that's what it's about. So let's see what you guys are saying in the comments. Let me know what you think about Kristen Sinema, Pritzker. I mean, Pritzker, I was listening to his whole thing. It's like, dude, that sucks. I'm sorry, Illinois. That guy was by far the worst guy in the state. He's like bragging about like abortions and like, I don't know. It was just like weird. Some crazy Kathy said, you don't get it. Well, crazy Kathy, you sound like someone named Kathy that's crazy with a K. I don't know, but you can push back. That's fine. I read comments. Someone said, good work exposing these snowflakes, caveman. I'm not sure why people call me caveman. Maybe because I look like one, but do I look like the caveman from the Geico commercials? I saw that commercial yesterday again for the first time in like a decade. If you want to feel old, just bring up that commercial. All the old heads know what I'm talking about. Someone said Trump handled Zelensky better. The border was more secure under him. That's it. Honestly, I think that's a good take. I think those are two things that he actually does better. I think he handles the border better, and he handled Zelensky better. I agree with that. You know, everything else, I think he kind of fell short on. Slightly better Supreme Court nominees, but not really like true outsiders, like sneaky right-wing establishment people. It's better than a whatever her name is, Brown Jackson. Like, you know, she's gonna, and it's not because she's black or a woman for those asking. She just has, her policies are too far left for me. But let's see. You look a little like the Geico caveman in a good way. Well, actually, I wouldn't work for Geico. I was like, maybe they'll hire me, but I don't want to work for Geico. I'm going to do another stream. I'm keeping this one under 40 minutes, so you guys got a couple minutes to tell me stuff. If you didn't listen to the stream yesterday with Chad, I mean, you don't have to if it's not, you know, I do so many topics. I understand people can't watch them all. But Chad, like, he took like a year or two out of his time to study everything MLK, like everything in that world. And he really had some interesting points. He basically thinks, you know, MLK was a chosen kind of guy to basically get the South to get into Marxism, you know, using like a reverend and more conservative speaking. Very interesting conversation. Lavish Patch Kid, interesting name, I like that, play on words, said, all current officials attending these summits are in violation of the Logan Act. I mean, I don't know if that's true. If it is, no one's enforcing it. Yeah, I mean, it's a weird vibe when American politicians fly over there to talk about what they're doing, but we know why they're doing it. There's connections there, there's opportunity there, there's power there. The question is how much. The question is, you know, I mean, there's a lot of questions, to be honest, but I do feel like things are trending in the right direction. And this is what I'm going to end with this real quick. This is why I'm trying so hard, because I really believe, although I disagree with a lot of people and they'll be like, anomaly, don't point out the fact that Trump worked for pharmacy lobbyists. He did, boohoo, cry more. But, you know, it's like, even if you take away the Trump angle of it, like they think I dislike Trump too much. I think their head's up his ass and they don't want to tell the truth about him. If you take all that away, we agree on most things. So really the only divide is the fact that you don't want to hear that Donald Trump worked for pharmacy lobbyists and I do. But the point I'm getting to is I believe in the base too much. I think there's tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people awake, aware. We have a real opportunity here, just like we did in 2016. And in my opinion, at the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, Donald Trump decided to hang out with Fauci and pharmacy lobbyists and Bill Gates instead of us. And I believe he's in on it. And I have proof of that and evidence, and I'm going to make videos about it. And if you don't want to hear it, that's fine. But in general, we have something special here. It would be a shame if you just dog walk this vaccine salesman back into office with no pushback. How many interviews is the guy going to go on and say, my vaccine saved 100 million lives, and people are just going to ignore the fact that he's lying that big? Or he says, it's my vaccine, I did it, I did it, I did it, and then I say he did it, and then they say, oh, it wasn't him, it was them. He wants credit. So the point I'm getting to is the movements work too hard. There's too many awake and aware people to just throw it back in the hands of a person who clearly doesn't care. So we need to challenge, just like if you have an issue with Governor Kemp being at World Economic Forum, be fair, be honest, but feel free to ask him questions. He serves Georgia. So if you don't mind, that's on you. If you do mind and you voted for him, you know, that's your right to ask him, why in the world were you in Davos with all these sneaky people, and see what his response is. We don't need to lighten up on these car salesmen. We need to really get to the bottom of what's going on here, because there's a lot of good momentum. The only thing that could stop our momentum is somebody sneaky that's working for Big Pharma that's just going to play a little hypnotize the base game and run them off a bridge like a Pied Piper. So God bless you guys. Appreciate it. I'll be back later today with a Steven Crowder kind of reaction. I want to see what he's talking about. He's saying that he has proof that there's conservatives working for big tech. I want to watch the full video and then I want to respond to it and see what he's talking about, because I've been saying for a long time that I hate to be a hater or whatever, but it's like our movement and our base is not going to go anywhere if the people that are gatekeeping are kind of shutting down certain narratives that are important. So thank